to talk about. I haven't actually even been doing too much other than playing fucking Overwatch, man.
Yeah, you've been enjoying it?
I have been enjoying it. I don't know what it is about Overwatch or Blizzard games in general, but they make you want to play them.
Yeah, people seem, I mean, there's these like two different camps that I'm seeing. I mean, everyone seems to really enjoy the game. And
there
really
is
be...
nothing in that game. There is literally nothing in that game. Like,
then everyone's, yeah.
People would shit on, if Call of Duty came out with two game modes and that's it, and said, go for it, guys, this is what we got this year, people would fucking blow up in
and
anger.
I mean,
Overwatch, it's like, oh, here you go, Blizz. Well, whatever. It is so good. This is so, so, so good. There's so much content here. It's unbelievable. You're basically relying on these free-to-play elements of these opening these loot boxes. It's tons of fun. It's fucking fun. I love the little spray paint shit. It's so fucking gimmicky. It's stupid. But whatever secret sauce they got going on, I think, which I alluded to earlier, I believe that they are just sending subliminal messages through the screen that says, play me, play me, play me, play,
play
me.
Play Overwatch,
keep playing,
play
keep
Overwatch.
Playing. Buy loot boxes, buy loot boxes. Anyway, this is Attack of the Fanboy podcast. I have no fucking idea. Number 32.
32?
Boom. 32. A lot of news this week as we're heading into E3 2016. We're trying to get scheduled up for that. We're trying to figure out what we're going to be doing. I've got a 12 o'clock appointment I scheduled with the hot dog vendor. I don't think there's going to be much else to do there. Kyle, you seem to have...
I think you're going to be surprised with how much
what?
Is going to be going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be surprised at how much is going on. I think this is going to be the shittiest E3 I've ever been to. If I go.
It could. I mean,
what do you
know,
think?
As
I mean, we
fan,
always... We just
cheap.
Keep speculating, oh, they could pull something out of their hat. As a Nintendo fan, yes. This is... Bring your fucking box of tissues.
Yeah.
You,
bring your 3DS. You can get some Street Pass, and that's as much
that
Nintendo
is not,
stuff as... You
know. This is an industry event. Industry event. I know people still bring their 3DSs there for that thing, but that is not why, like, you're going to E3, is to get Street Passes. For God's sakes. What the fuck is going on here?
That's...
Why don't you just fucking get a Pikachu onesie and fucking flaunt around there?
Dude, they updated the Pokemon store online.
Fuck,
there's a lot
Pokemon.
Of new stuff in there.
I told
you
that last week. I'm done with Pokemon.
All of these rumors about a new Xbox One and PS4 are really looking accurate, as much as I may dread that. So,
are you pushing me into news?
Yeah, okay. I am.
You're pushing me into news. I wasn't done bitching about nothing. Anyway, yeah, I'll start this off since I'm hosting this podcast, Kyle. I'll move us into news.
All right.
You can let me naturally transition us into that. Sorry.
That was a natural transition.
No, talking that about was a- like, Will, shut the fuck up. We're going to start talking about news now.
That's what these things are.
But fuck, we gotta let people know before we jump from Pokemon to actual news that matters.
So I mean, but to continue the E3, I mean, there may be, I don't know. It feels like
they're release upgraded versions of these boxes later. This year's the one they're gonna try and get you for the Slim.
Yeah.
We're going to get you for the Slim this year. Next year, there's something better. Why the fuck would you buy a Slim this year if you know a better Xbox is coming next year?
Well,
is my question.
They're even like openly comparing it to cell phones now.
Good. At least they're not fucking beating around the bush. Let us know what you're trying to do. The games industry constantly moves the goalpost. We're going to do DLC this way. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. They constantly move and try to PR, massage, and spin and all that shit. Just fucking be up front and say, hey, you know what? We're releasing new Xboxes this year. It's fucking way better than what you have. And it's worth it. sell us what the product is. Don't fucking try to, you know what I'm saying? I just wish they would try and do that. Just do that. Yeah. Sell your fucking product. If it's better, let us know why it's better and let us know why we need it. Not anything else. I don't want to hear any other bullshit. But we're the only fucking community out there that gets fucking irate over a new console coming out in 3 years, something better. But if a new phone comes out, and new phones are twice as expensive as consoles. They come out every year and people buy them.
Yeah, but I mean, most of them were subsidized. Still kind of are in different ways. I mean, while a phone is technically like $600 to $700, you're really only dropping $200. And there's a big difference between a phone and a console.
No, but you are paying that money over the long run.
You are. Yeah, you are, but you don't really realize it. If people
So you'd rather be fooled? So if they subsidize these things with your Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus account, say that was what the case was. Say that they worked it kind of the same way and up the price of Gold and Plus and subsidized new consoles like that, and you could get a new one every 3 years. Would not knowing make it better, Kyle?
I would be fine, and I am fine paying up front for my phone. But I'm saying most people aren't aware that their phone is even that expensive.
Well, most people are fucking retarded.
Well, yeah, but that's what we're talking about. Are these going to sell to the millions of people that have gobbled up Xbox Ones? And I think
I think we've learned something over the last 20 years. People like video games.
They do.
People but do like video games, difference. And they will pay for the shit.
There's a huge difference between a phone, which is now a necessity. You cannot live in today's modern world without a cell phone that is at least partially a smartphone. Almost everyone needs a smartphone at this point. But you don't need an Xbox One. You don't need a PS4. This model of yearly upgrades, it doesn't even work for tablets.
You don't need a smartphone.
Tablets, you need a smartphone.
For what?
Come on. For work,
for getting emails on the go, for looking at Tinder, for texting.
You can't text.
You can text on a regular phone. Yes, you can.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Once you go back, I mean, you can't go from a smartphone and go back to doing that sort of shit. But you could if you weren't used to it. You could. We did for a long time, Kyle.
Either way, you need a phone. The cost of a smartphone the cost to upgrade to a smartphone is negligible compared to a regular phone. You're paying monthly for these things. So whatever, you can get a cheapy smartphone for a couple $100. And those people aren't upgrading every year. The people that upgrade every year are the Apple fanboys. And
those are in the millions and millions. That's why Apple is like one of the biggest, if not the biggest company in the world because of what they do.
People don't own Xbox Ones. Those are Apple fans who buy them because they came out with a new color this year. This market.
It's a smaller market. No, there's no doubt that it's a smaller market. But does that market model still work? I think it probably would. I mean, you have to understand there are as gaming matures. I mean, it's obviously relatively small, or young, in terms of its lifespan. But I've been playing games for so long, I am, and I'm in the upper demographic, the upper level demographic of time spent playing video games in total, for my life, and I also have the disposable income to buy that. Now there's people that are 10, 20 years younger than me that probably still have the disposable income to buy those consoles as well. The people that are going to complain about it are the minority of people that there's no fucking way I can afford this. It's not a childish hobby anymore. It's a grown folks thing. Sorry to say that. I mean, don't you think that? Don't you think?
Yes,
don't you believe that games are for adults now? They're not for children.
Yes, the average age of a gamer is now 30.
Right. At 30, you're talking about $300, $400, $500 for, we talked about this last week, how much entertainment you get out of how many hours you get for the price. And it's obscene when you compare it to any other entertainment medium, what you get as far as your usage out of an Xbox or a PlayStation.
But there are a lot of limitations that come with it. When you buy a console, you are limiting what you can do with that console. When you buy an Xbox, you can only play games that come out on Xbox. And part of that deal that you used to make with Microsoft is, you give me a console for cheaper than I should be able to purchase it for, and then I will buy games for that console that you make money off of. Mm. And that seems to be going out the window with these. And I guess we should probably break down exactly what this report was that came out today,
okay,
which is that there's a slim Xbox One coming out later this year.
Now, this is a rumor. This is a rumor.
Yeah.
From a reputable outlet, Kotaku.
Yeah. And then a new, more powerful version of the Xbox One will come out next year. And the slim one, fine. That makes sense. You know, they do that every... That's
if there's a new Xbox coming out next year, the slim does not make sense.
Yes.
Like, if they were going to try and keep it under wraps for the next year, if they were going to try and keep the more powerful thing under wraps for the next year and, like, try and sneak a slim out the back door this E3, yeah, it makes sense. But if they're going to, like, this article might blow that shit up, because no one's going to buy a fucking Xbox Slim if a new one's coming out next year.
They announced this. Xbox One sales will tank. Everyone will wait. There's no reason not to. Yeah. It's absurd. But taken by itself, it makes sense. You know, releasing an Xbox One Slim is a good idea, and it works, and it is fine. It's this more powerful one that makes that absurd and makes everything up in the air. I have no idea what will happen with this. But to me, doing this really shifts the way that consoles work to an area where they lose a lot of their value and a lot of their luster. And people who buy consoles want this assurance that when they buy it, sure, something better looking might come out, but it's not going to be an actual improvement in terms of how it plays these games, which is what this is promising. And once you cross that threshold, once you set that precedent that you can buy a console today, and 2 or 3 years down the road, a new and upgraded version will be out. People will start to drift away from consoles.
I don't believe that's the case. I just think PCs are too complicated for most people. It's just a matter of fact. But you want to know what? I wrote this article, and I threw a little something in there for the fanboys. A more powerful Xbox One may be able to handle both, talking about 4K resolution and virtual reality, given the fact that this current model has already fallen way behind the curve, talking about the Xbox One as we know it, in terms of horsepower when compared to a PC. 2017 might be the true beginning of the next generation. Meaning, and what I meant, meant by saying that was, these consoles were stopgaps just to fucking make money. Like, these consoles really don't do anything new. Especially the Xbox One. It doesn't even do 1080p 60 frames per second. And if it does, it's like a fucking triumph. That is something that is not, you know, every console generation has kind of like brought something new to the table. HD, for example, you know, the digital era of Xbox Live and Xbox games selling through the digital market. This, a brand new console that could handle virtual reality and 4K resolution would be next generation, in my opinion. What we have what we have now is not.
And how much would that cost, though? You're talking about
A year from now?
A console being able to handle 4K gaming and virtual reality at the level of
the PlayStation's going to do it.
The PlayStation rumors were that it wouldn't be 4K gaming. Most of the rumors pointed toward 4K video for like
$7.99. Fuck it, go for it, Microsoft. I'm in.
Yeah, that'd be
$7.99.
Dead on arrival.
Maybe they have. Hey, man, I still haven't given up on the secret sauce.
I really Microsoft, need to see these specs. I don't understand this
you're
entire
not
thing.
See shit. And for quite some time, we're not going to know. We don't even know if this is true or not. But I think it's needed. I definitely think it's needed. I think it's needed. I'd love, and I know you don't want to see this, but I'd love for the Oculus Rift to partner up with the Xbox One.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're going to get into the Oculus stuff.
I'd love to see that. You know how many people would love to see that? It's the way that Microsoft is able to compete one-to-one with Sony and probably beat them.
Yes, admittedly, this would be great for me. I'm not talking about me. I would buy this.
It'd be great for the guy that you sold your Oculus Rift to.
Yeah, it would be. I'm sure there'd be a hack to make the Five work.
Maybe there will be a less powerful Oculus Rift for the Xbox One.
I don't know.
You don't go backwards from here. You go forwards, right?
Yeah, a lot of this just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that's because we're just speculating on fucking rumors that were on the internet. Yeah. But
and it is true. I mean, these consoles were way underpowered. They should have been more forward thinking and put more power into these things. But at this point, that's done. You've made your bed. You need to lie in it for the next couple of years, or you're risking a Sega 3DX.
I mean, don't know what kind of like roadmap they have for their systems in general. These could have been the ones that like we sell these without taking a loss. We make as much money as we can. We sell the next bunch at a loss where we can put better. You know what I'm saying? They could have a roadmap for this shit that stretches 30 years from now, and they could be subsidizing those new consoles with these old ones. There's no telling. Well, but
and the idea seems to be that these would be constantly forward and backward compatible. Like you're releasing Xbox games instead of Xbox One games. And they'll play on both of these systems. They will just play differently. But that still, again, loses a lot of what console gaming offers, which is developers can develop for a single set of hardware. And you start to get into this fractured. It's kind of like Android versus Apple. If we want to go back to mobile, like Apple, I hate the iPhone.
You hate a lot of shit, Kyle.
I do. I get what works for it, which is this. That you have the same OS and the same hardware. It's just upgraded year to year. Android has this massive fractured market, and it's caused so many issues for them. And while, you know, this won't be as bad as an Android scenario, it's still taking what was a very closed off and easy to develop for system and making it much more difficult. And we saw that with the PlayStation rumors, where a lot of developers, it seemed like the guy who got the developers to talk had kind of a grudge and was looking for people to complain, but he did find some people complaining that like now this is going to be a headache. We're going to have to figure out how to get our game to run on the PlayStation 4 and the new PlayStation 4 and have it work well on both and just look better on the new one. I don't know. It's weird.
Weird. I mean, actually having consoles to figure out how to do your job. That must suck. Make all that money, millions of dollars on video games and downloadable content and DLC and microtransactions and all that shit. I wish it could just be just as easy as people just fucking buying loot boxes.
Yeah.
It was only that easy. No, I kid. Developers, obviously. I mean, I've done a little bit of coding in my day, and it is fucking a nightmare. I can only imagine making video games. It's probably fucking retarded hard. But let's fucking move on. Please.
You want me to run down? Have you followed this Oculus stuff? It's been crazy week.
Please. Tell me about this Oculus. Why it's so bad. What is so bad that Oculus is doing? Like, you are sitting there just smiling and laughing and rubbing your hands together going, I knew it. I knew Oculus Rift was going to fuck this shit up. You have told me that this has been a disaster.
It was a disaster a month ago. It is a garbage fire at this point. So here's what has happened. Oculus Rift has went from the darling of VR to one of the more hated companies I've seen in a long time. And the way that they've done this is by going back on what they promised at the beginning, which was that they wanted to support VR, not the Oculus Rift. They wanted to support VR and get it into people's homes and build it up as a platform and as a technology. And instead, they've built up a walled garden, much like Apple, and have created Oculus Home, and your games are in Oculus Home, and any game purchased in Oculus Home only works on the Oculus Rift. And what's weird with this is the Vive can run these perfectly fine. One guy in a couple of days developed a mod that made it so that games you purchased in Oculus Home, which is their storefront, work on the HTC Vive. And he's been building this up, and it's been working great. Everybody's loved it. And then they killed it. They sent out an update that added new DRM that checks to see when you launch an Oculus Home game, it checks to see if you have an Oculus Rift plugged in. And they came out and they said, this was not aimed at this. It's called Revive, is the mod. It's not aimed at this. We are just trying to curb piracy. And we need to take that for what it is. That's what they said. But a lot of evidence points to the other direction, because now piracy is actually much more easy. In order to get his mod working again, which is only partially working, he had to actually circumvent the DRM, which opens Oculus Home up to piracy. And it's just been a cluster because of all of this. But the big thing that is pissing people off is that they are doing this. They are walling things off. They're creating artificial barriers. The Oculus Rift is a peripheral. It is the same as a monitor or a keyboard or a mouse. And the idea that a game is now
set up.
Maybe
they don't look at it like that. Maybe they look at it like a platform. Since PC is the open thing.
And they're wrong. They're wrong.
Is
that,
and is that what the community thinks?
Yes.
You're a big Reddit guy. You hang out on Reddit, and
our Oculus and our Vive, I go on there just to watch. Imagine if, because people bring up the consoles, they're like, all right, so no, don't think of it as the PlayStation 4. When you buy a PlayStation 4, you can only play PS4 games on it. That's not what it is. This would be if you bought a PS4 and it only worked with a Sony TV. And that is ridiculous. This is a peripheral. It's not a platform. You need to treat it like a peripheral. And we will buy games on Oculus Home. I was perfectly willing to buy games on Oculus Home. They got these exclusives. And if you want to say that that's, you know, I would say that that is a bad move. But whatever. They've got to make money where they can make money. So they get some exclusives. I'm perfectly willing to buy those. If I can play them on my Vive, I don't need to buy your Oculus Rift. My Vive does the same thing. Some may say it does it better, but I won't go there.
I do not have VR fever.
I mean, have you played with the motion controllers? That's the thing, is like the Vive.
Do I look like an asshole? No, I haven't. I haven't.
Once I actually like loaded up the Vive, got room scale going with motion controllers, going back and playing even a VR game seated with a Xbox controller just doesn't get me anymore. I've moved on.
Well. They're going to be coming out with their own thing, right?
Yeah, whether that'll be later this year or sometime next, no one really knows. No one knows how much they'll be, and they're not doing much to engender. I mean, they still haven't fulfilled pre-orders from the first hour of pre-orders. People who pre-orders went live at 8 a.m., people who ordered by 9 a.m., some of them have not received their pre-orders
yet. You know what's fucking real shitty about that whole situation that I read about was the fact that they put those things out to Best Buy, into retail, and then before they fulfilled their pre-orders from people. And that is like, what the fuck are you thinking? They're trying to just... Yeah. They're trying... Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, there's a lot of I'm not following it as closely as you are, because I just, for whatever reason, wasn't as excited about VR as you. But But like hearing stuff like that, hearing the stuff about people not getting their stuff, hearing the problems and them adding DRM to the system and all that stuff has been kind of like, wait, man, this is going south pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But there's another story here, right? On as far as Oculus goes, something about it being a direct copy of Valve's original prototype for it.
Yes.
Because they were working with Valve initially.
They were. There is going to be a... Did you ever see the movie Pirates of Silicon Valley that like went over the Steve Jobs and Bill Gates stuff? There's going to be a movie like that someday about Oculus and Steam. Because
no one's going to give a shit about VR in 5 years. Just joking. Maybe they will.
So, yeah, this guy, Alan Yates, who works at Valve. He worked on the Lighthouse system, which is the tracking system for Vive. I'll let him speak. So he posted this on Reddit. It's a verified account. We know it's him.
Do you have an audio clip?
No. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
So he was responding to somebody and he said, while that is generally true, in this case, every core feature of both the Rift and Vive HMDs, head mount displays, I believe, are directly derived from Valve's research program. Oculus has their own CV-based tracking implementation and Frenzel lens design, but the CV1, which is the consumer version, currently released Oculus Rift, is otherwise a direct copy of the architecture of the 1080p Steam Sight prototype Valve lent to Oculus when we installed a copy of the Valve room at their headquarters. I would call Oculus the first Steam VR licensee, but history will likely record a somewhat different term for it. So that was...
Shots fired by Alan Yates.
Yeah, shots fired.
I mean, can you... Like, that sounds like they could sue them, or...?
No, I mean, they were freely sharing technology because Steam was really looking into VR. They saw the potential in it, mm-hmm. and then they saw the potential in Oculus, where, you know, Palmer Luckey put this Kickstarter out there and showed that... I mean, Steam's VR implementation was super expensive, mm-hmm. and Oculus showed that it can be done cheaply. And they needed to just merge the two together. And so that's what they were doing. They were sharing technology, sharing ideas.
Yeah, but then they both broke off into separate companies, and now they're competing companies.
Yes, because Oculus turned tail and ran and sold to Facebook. That seems to be the one thing that separated this, where Oculus was talking about openness and, you know, having open platforms and going back to Oculus Home. There wouldn't have been an Oculus Home at this time. It was not the way that they were talking about it. And then all of a sudden, they sold to Facebook and stopped communicating with Steam, Valve. They cut off communication and hired a bunch of Valve employees and then put out all of this very closed-off stuff. I mean, Valve would have enjoyed all of this VR stuff because they would have gotten a cut of all the games. That was kind of their end game. Get VR out there and get it successful so that people buy VR games and we get 30% of all of those. And Oculus said, we'll take that 30%.
Hmm. Greedy
that
fuckers.
That seems to be what's going
on. Greedy. But Steam's greedy too. Valve's greedy. Everybody's greedy. Everybody's trying to make money. It's not like they're doing anything wrong here. But if they did steal... Or made a direct copy. A direct copy means that they've stolen something from them.
Yeah, that seems to be what he's...
It seems pretty damning. Yeah. But they got a lot of fucking brilliant minds at Oculus.
They do, and I mean, they definitely contributed to this VR revolution, if you want to call it that. We're not quite there yet, but... you know, we wouldn't be talking about VR if it wasn't for Oculus and what they did to push this stuff. But
or Facebook, probably. It pushed them over the finish line.
I think it would be in a much better place without
Facebook. Do you really yes. think that they would have been able to, like, the manufacturing aspects of this are probably so fucking crazy and need so much money to fulfill just the orders that they got?
It could have gotten that kind of from Valve. Valve was looking as
you
soon
think,
as
do you think Gabe's like,
Facebook,
oh, we'll give you $1 billion.
Valve wanted VR to be a success, and I mean, look at the Vive. Do you think HTC put that together by themselves? No, they had
HTC's
Valve helping them and backing them.
HTC is a bigger company than Valve.
Is
I
it?
Would,
they're like,
would wager. Yeah. What's
they're
that?
Like dying.
HTC's
been having like major problems.
I'm guessing their market capitalization is still bigger than Valve, who only sells video games online. I know Valve makes a lot of money, but I just don't think they make the kind of money that HTC does. I'm not sure. That's a guess.
I don't know about that. Valve
if
makes
I'm wrong, podcast at attackofthefanboy.com.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that Oculus needed this money to get this headset out there. They needed this money to build up Oculus Home and create this walled garden that they're making that is driving everyone insane. VR needs to be in as many hands as possible and have as many games as possible, and creating exclusives and stores that only work with one headset is only going to slow it down.
HTC has a $66 billion market capitalization, and they're from Taiwan. There's no fucking way Valve is worth $66 billion. Okay, anyway, moving on.
Okay.
Moving on. Valve worked with them to get it done because they had the infrastructure to get these things out there. It's not Valve putting them out and doing the manufacturing. It's HTC. Regardless.
Either way. I don't think Facebook was necessary.
Well, stop typing out that fucking email, fucker. You're wrong. And I'm right. Hopefully. All right. Let's move along to some smaller numbers. Uncharted 4 sells over 2.7 million copies in just a short amount of time here. First week.
That's a lot of sales.
I think it's expected for the only or probably the biggest PlayStation 4 exclusive to date. I don't
think
there's been a bigger one.
What do you think? Do you think it's the fact that it is a new Uncharted game, or do you think that it is boosted by people having PS4s and just really wanting a big exclusive?
A game? Like, people having PlayStation 4s and wanting a game. Like, if you're not a Souls fan, you haven't had shit for the PlayStation 4, really. I mean, Bloodborne was the best game to come out on that console. Exclusive. Yeah. And, you know, that's not for everybody. Uncharted 4 is that game for everybody. It's that big action game that anybody can relate to, anybody can pick up and play, whether you've played the games before it or not. And, you know, if you had, it also, you know, I know a lot of people that, you know, moved over from Xbox to PlayStation. And that was one of the games they got was the Nathan Drake collection, because they wanted to be up on Uncharted 4 when that game finally came out. And, I mean, 2.7 in the first week, I'm guessing that's a lot, but.
Yeah, that's a ton.
I'm thinking that that's probably warranted at this point, because what? Sony's getting close to shipping 60 million consoles, or that'll be by next year. So what, they've sold 40 million consoles right now? I mean, it's insane. But out of those 40, only 2.7 million rushed out in the first week. So think about it in terms of percentages. It's, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they have
0.5%.
That has the same kind of attach rate as like something like every fucking buddy that has an Xbox goes and gets Halo. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Uncharted is a pretty big series, but I don't know. Like, my mom knows. I always bring up my mom as the she knows what Halo is.
We got to bring her on the podcast one of these weeks.
Yeah, we should. I don't know that aside from maybe seeing commercials, she knows what Uncharted is.
Yeah, it's not like Nathan Drake is not that recognizable character.
Yeah.
Like it Master Chief
be.
Is.
These games are fantastic.
They're fucking amazing. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was, you know, easily, probably will go down as the best game this year unless something else comes out that just blows us away. Naughty Dog's still at the top of their game. And yeah, I'm guessing that they'll continue to sell those as Uncharted 4 hype follows through E3. I'm sure they'll still be pushing Uncharted. Make sure people understand this game's out there. It's awesome. But apparently Naughty Dog's moving on also.
Yeah.
So they're moving on to their next game. Hiring for something.
What could it be?
What could it be? What do you want it to be?
The Last of Us.
Yeah, I would take The Last of Us. Yeah. I think I've seen some talk about, well, maybe they should just not do that and make like Crash Bandicoot.
I get that. I would like to see a new Crash Bandicoot game, but I don't know that Naughty Dog is even. Yeah, I mean, Naughty Dog feels like they've moved past that.
Past cartoon.
Yeah.
Bandicoots.
They develop such intricate, massive, and fantastic games. I don't want them to go back and make that.
Yeah,
Crash
string
Bandicoot.
On the heart. Pull on the heartstrings with Crash Bandicoot. I don't see it happening. They do some social commentary in a Crash Bandicoot game. Bandicoot.
They could like farm it out and supervise. That would work, you know. Just
they
have
could
a hand
give
in it,
Crash Bandicoot to just about anybody. Like they are. That's not the game that Naughty Dog needs to make. Naughty Dog has kind of been pressing and pushing the. How shall I put this? No, but it's not. They're pushed. They are definitely on the bleeding edge of visuals fidelity and what games look and play like. But they're also on the edge of storytelling and narrative and delivering players stories that aren't the traditional things that you've come to expect from video games. And they've been doing a great job at that. I just don't see them going back. I think it would be regressing. That's a different era of games in general. And yeah, it might be fun for them to work on it. Who knows? Maybe the guys at Naughty Dog are like, let's not do this again. Let's just make a Crash Bandicoot game.
I cry myself to sleep every night.
How fun would that be? You know? So who knows what they're doing over there, but I love the games, these story-driven, beautiful games that they've been making recently with The Last of Us, the last few Uncharteds. So, Last of Us 2, please.
Yeah. I mean, I say Last of Us 2 just because that, you know, is such a fantastic game, and I would like to see more in that world, not necessarily an actual sequel. I don't need to have Ellie and Joel back, as long as it's a story that Naughty Dog wants to tell. But I would also like I could see them doing something brand new. Last of Us was brand new, so maybe they've got something.
Yeah, but there seemed like a lot left in that world to explore. Like there just seemed like so many ways that they could take that thing. Whether not necessarily from that specific story, but like you said, between Ellie and Joel, but I mean, other characters, other parts of the world. I mean, just other stories in that universe seem like it was such a small part of a bigger thing that you didn't get the complete picture. And I would love to hear more about that, that world personally. But
totally agree.
We'll have to see what happens. We probably will not be hearing about that shit for quite some time. What we will have before then is Titanfall.
Titanfall 2. I'm actually
Titanfall
excited.
2. Are you?
Yeah, I liked Titanfall.
I like Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2.
I like Titanfall 2 also.
The only problem that I had with Titanfall was that people stopped playing it.
Yeah, me too.
I was fine with the amount of content that it had. I was fine with it not having a single player. And I actually enjoyed, people complained so much about it having a lack of weapons. It didn't have a lot of weapons in it. I liked that. I don't want a ton of weapons that I have to figure out exactly which one is the one that I want. I was like, I want the machine gun and I want the shotgun over here, and that's it. So I really enjoyed Titanfall.
Yeah. We're going to play Titanfall in like 2 weeks.
We are
going to play Titanfall in 2 weeks.
Yes, we already have an appointment for it.
Yeah, I can't wait to play that. If it plays exactly the same as the first one, I think I'll be just fine with that. Just because like you said, the only problem I had with that game was the fact that people stopped playing it. I mean, there were so many good things about that game. When you think about Titanfall and what they did there with the mechs and the ejecting and the jumping on top of them and rodeoing them and all the crazy game modes and stuff that they had in that game, I think I could have definitely played that for longer than I did. And I think it's a shame. I mean, I really think that the problem was it launched on the Xbox One when the Xbox One wasn't selling that well, and it just ran out of fucking juice. It just ran out of people to play it.
Putting that game on
all consoles, and now Microsoft's got a bigger base, Sony's got a bigger base, the PC crowd will probably... I don't know about the PC crowd.
They'll jump.
Right. They'll jump in for a little while and get out.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But now with a bigger base to sell this game to, I think Titanfall does well.
I'm really only worried just because there does seem to be a lot of negativity surrounding it. People really look back at the first one as a failure for some reason, because of what happened with people abandoning it and the player base shrinking so quickly. And I think that's incorrect. I think it was a really good game. Hopefully they've taken the criticism that I may not agree with, but that other people still feel is accurate, like getting a single... I'm pretty sure that they said it will have some kind of single-player campaign.
Oh, God. So people, why? Just follow Blizzard's fucking roadmap and stop fucking kowtowing to everybody's fucking demands.
No one else has Blizzard's magic, and I think that...
Just put subliminal messages in your game to make people keep playing.
I think what a single-player campaign does is just connect you to the world more, and maybe that's what people need.
100% is. Like, that is what games used to be, was play the single-player, get invested in it, you want more of it, let's get into the multiplayer. But now, things are just different. I don't know, whatever the case may be, it just costs too much to make those things. They probably made the right financial decision by not putting that in the first game, because then it would have not only been a critical failure, but a fucking commercial disaster, because they would have spent way more money on it than they had, and Microsoft probably gave them a certain amount of money to make it, or put a portion of the money up to make it.
It's just a question of like what do you want to focus your development on? And to me, I play Battlefield and I played a little bit of Call of Duty, and I'm just like, I don't know. To me, especially Battlefield.
Don't lie.
Like,
stop lying to the people, Kyle.
I played a little bit of Call of Duty.
When?
Demos and betas and stuff.
Shut your goddamn mouth.
But
and don't say you play Call of Duty. You're lying to people.
Take the time that you spent on that single player campaign that I'm going to just force myself to play one time and focus it into the multiplayer. And I think that's what they did with Titanfall 1, and people just didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciated it for about a week.
It was a shitty single player campaign.
Yeah, but I think that's always like the fallback. It's just that people always say they want something else, right? Unless you're Blizzard. Yeah. That's it. But this rumor came out this week or today, yesterday.
Yeah.
Recently. Some person on Reddit's just like, I know somebody that is in the know, and they dropped off some information about some new abilities in the game in the form of a grappling hook. Said that the hook was used to get inside the Titan, pull enemies in midair, and more. They had inside information in regards to a pre-order bonus in the form of a handgun called the Violator. Who knows where this information is coming from? But they did seem to have a kind of like a box art looking type thing to put up on Reddit. I don't know if this came from retail or if this came from somebody that knows a developer. I highly doubt it. It seemed more like it might come from like, you know, just ahead of E3 when they're going to start marketing these things and start sending out posters and shit.
Yeah, which but, this poster looks legit, so that's...
Yeah, I mean, if it's not legit, somebody probably is going to have a good career in concept art someday.
Yeah.
But,
that
you know...
That sounds pretty cool. I mean, we already know that they're adding a sword for the Titans. Yeah, I could see a grappling hook
in this motherfucker. Yeah, we're going to hear a lot more about Titanfall in the coming weeks here. So, I mean, we're going to know exactly how that game plays and what it feels like pretty soon. You added this Halo 5 Guardians Forge mode is heading to...
PC.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Halo 5 Guardians Forge mode is heading to PC?
Yes. Only the Forge mode. And you can actually... test, so you can build a level on PC and then test it by playing the game. Now you might say, well, Halo 5 is coming to PC, but no, you would be wrong. It is only Forge mode.
But you can play Halo 5 on PC. But you can play multiplayer Halo 5. Oh, only locally?
Only locally. I believe
they're getting ready to, put Halo 5 on PC. They've got to be.
I don't know. I mean, they are making this push for Windows 10 gaming, you know, with the Windows 10 store, which
why the fuck would they put this on there then? For just for local play?
They should
just do it. Then you can get Crap Gamer or whoever to bitch at Phil Spencer about, I buy consoles for exclusivity, goddammit. You tell me these games are going to be exclusive. And then you just put them on PC like a piece of shit. Like, just fucking put it on PC. Who cares?
I would be super happy to get Halo on PC because I would immediately jump to PC. Because I love Halo and I want to play it on my PC.
You wouldn't play it. You're not playing Halo on Xbox.
Exactly, because I want to play it on my PC.
Because you want to play it on PC, really? Do you really think it's going to be just like, what, so much better? That game is fucking awesome on the Xbox One. It's 1080p 60.
It is. It is. Most of my Xbox friends, unlike you, still have a lot of friends on Xbox. All of my Xbox friends have moved to PC. I have friends who would kill to play Halo again.
Maybe that's why we differ so much. Like, I see people that are like, this guy, he's never getting a PC. He's buying the next Xbox. You know what I'm saying? Or I just don't, like, I have the friends that are not necessarily enthusiast to the point where like, well, I feel like changing out my graphics card every 3 years, and I feel like having to fucking upgrade my GPU or CPU or whatever, or RAM or whatever. They just are not going to do that. I mean, that's the thing.
We all bought GTX 970s together, and
oh. In other news that we're not going to get to today, Quake Reboot teased in new id Software job listing. I'm down for that. Kyle, are you down for that?
Sure.
All right. We'll run down quickly. Rocket League PC Xbox One cross-platform play kicks off today. Are you down for
Thank
that?
Thank God the Xbox One version was starting to get a little too low in the player count, so this is great.
Ooh,
and also,
another
it means
burn
I will
from Kyle.
I will have a lot of terrible Xbox players that
there
I can
you
beat
go.
On PC.
You can just stomp,
I'm sorry, Xbox players. Stomp you just em. Haven't had as much time with the game yet.
Another.
You'll get there.
Rapid fire news. Rumor. Nintendo has a new portable console codenamed MH.
Sure.
Separate to NX.
Yeah. The whole thing with the NX being both a home console and a handheld seemed odd to me. So this is making my world make sense once again.
Rapid fire. Homefront. The Revolution dev promises fixes for performance issues. This game
Good
apparently sucks.
We played the beta.
I played the beta for 1 minute and said, fuck this.
I recorded footage. We were going to do a video.
I recorded footage and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah, we recorded other stuff and we're like, do we want to do that? No, it's terrible. Ugh, God. Yeah, Dean reviewed that, gave it a 2.5 out of 5, which he liked it more than I did. I didn't play the final game, though, so there may have been some nice stuff.
This is rapid-fire news, Kyle. Rapid-fire. Rockstar Games new projects to be revealed soon. GTA 6 or Red Dead Redemption 2 incoming? Question mark?
Question mark? You like GTA 6? Yeah, that was mine.
Or Red Dead Redemption 2? I take Red Dead Redemption 2 at this point.
I think that's probably what they're doing, but looking at timelines, GTA 6 is not out of the question. A lot of people thought it was, but it might not be.
Maybe Red Dead Redemption 2 or whatever the Red Dead is going to be called is the...
We get it. I know Red Dead Redemption had another game.
Of the gaming of Rockstar's library. All right, Hitman's second elusive target is revealed, and I didn't realize this, but half failed to kill the first target.
Well, you know, the not everybody had him just saunter down the stairs.
No, not everybody has it as easy as me. And
also, episode 3 got revealed today.
And yeah, episode 3 got revealed. The release date will be May 31st.
Marrakesh.
They also revealed today that Xbox Live Games with Gold for June will include Goat Simulator, The Crew, Super Meat Boy, and XCOM again. Didn't they already do that, or
XCOM
was that PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
A long time ago.
Well, that was your rapid fire news that we've never done before that I just decided to get into.
I think we should do it more often. All email right. us or leave us a comment.
Yeah, if you're listening and you want the rapid fire to return, we might do it. I like that format, actually. That's what we should just do all of a sudden. Okay, what'd you play this week, Kyle? Kirby.
Kirby, yeah. It was actually pretty good. I went in with low expectations just because Kirby can be really weird. It's a great series, but they like to mess with it and put out these like ones where you only use the touchscreen. This was a very traditional Kirby game. Not a whole lot of innovation there. Nothing too new other than this whole robot suit that you get into. So if you've played a Kirby game and you liked it, you will probably like this. It's a good game.
You gave this game a 4 out of 5. It's for the Nintendo 3DS, Kirby Planet Robobot.
Yep.
That picture looks fucking badass. That's the suit. Suit he drives around in.
Yeah, he gets into a big suit, and he can even the suit, because you know Kirby can copy abilities from enemies. The suit.
I don't know anything
too.
About Nintendo or Kirby.
Yeah, like Kirby. Oh man.
No, I'm not.
Not a
big Kirby fan.
Make you play Nintendo games, but yeah. So even the suit, you can copy abilities.
He plays
from
the Nintendo 3DS. You're gonna wheel like a bucket down the well to me with a 3DS in it. You play this Kirby now. Okay, is that enough? Is that all you need to have to say about Kirby Planet Robobot?
Fun.
On the site this week, we had a couple reviews. Also, Fallout 4 Far Harbor, you reviewed that. You gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Good expansion from Bethesda for Fallout 4.
Very good expansion. Yeah, fixed a lot of, you know, added more, but also it seemed like they listened to fans that were kind of saying the main game didn't have a lot of these RPG elements that they want, like more involved quests where you have actual consequential choices. And there's a lot of that in Far Harbor.
And they've got that new survival mode that is out for, I mean, that's been out for a couple of weeks, but I'm saying this game is kind of evolving, and you're going to have mods coming out pretty soon for this. Fallout 4, I think, will be, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. Bethesda manages to do that, man. I mean, they keep these games, the longevity of them, for a while. I'm planning on going back and playing that. Scott Grill of our website, attackofthefanboy.com, reviewed Overwatch as well. He gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I concur. Good game.
Yep, that good seems game. To be. I do need to pick it up, actually, but
it's so fucking crazy, though. I mean, I know I've been mentioning it throughout the podcast and just dropping things on Blizzard for like being able to do what other developers can't get away with. Like, they just get a pass for whatever reason. They get a pass on delivering this game that has not much to it. That for whatever reason is a lot of fun and is so much so that people still love it, regardless of like any other game would feel like it's lacking in content. I don't know.
Yeah.
They did it. 4.5 out of 5 on that. You can check out our full written review on the site, attackofthefanboy.com. Dean James reviewed Homefront the Revolution. Surprisingly, he gave it 2.5 out of 5. I saw lower scores out there.
Yeah, there were. I think someone gave it a 1 out of 10. He may have had a bone to pick with it, but.
Well, that's just trolling. You know. That's just Jim Sterling trolling hard. I'm sure it's better than 1 out of 5. But the demo that I played was not a, was probably a 1 out of 5. I mean, it was like so bad. The frame rate was bad. Like it would get into this point where it would just stop and go. It was bad. I reviewed Total Warhammer, a strategy game
you really
far
like this.
Too complex to discuss on this podcast. But if you like Total War and you like the lore and characters and storylines from Warhammer, this game is fucking incredible. You've got different factions. It's kind of the easiest way to describe it is a blend of Civilization and real-time strategy, where you're managing basically a campaign where you are fighting within your own race, and then kind of you gather your races together to have a bigger war in this world. And it's got a lot of the characters from the Warhammer lore of the old world stuff. And,
are you into Warhammer?
I'm not, but I did a lot of research for this review, and I was like, holy shit, like how much attention to detail is in this stuff. It's not just Warhammer skins slapped on there. I mean, they've got these battles that pop up that are from the actual Warhammer lore and tabletop stuff, and it's crazy how true to the source material that this stuff is. And it made me a fan. It made me want to be like, oh, I want to get into this. This sounds like a really cool world to be into. And I could see why a lot of people like not just the Warhammer stuff, but the Total War games. I had never played a Total War game either, and those games are fucking crazy. I don't know if you know what these games do, but the real-time battles are insane.
Yeah.
Like
I actually did play a demo of this at PAX.
Oh, you played this? Did you get into the real-time battles? I mean, when you've got ogres and fucking flying dragons and shit flying.
No dragons, but yeah, it was pretty intense.
Once you get into like these upper level units and stuff, and you've got hero units that can fucking smash through. It's like the biggest high fantasy battle you can imagine playing out on the screen. It's pretty incredible. Plus, then you have all the other strategy layers and stuff to it. I really liked it. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I am definitely going to continue to play that. That's one of those games like Civilization where you can start a new campaign and kind of at any time, and it's going to play out somewhat quite differently. I don't know if anything else is on the site that we didn't cover this week.
No, but there is an embargo for tomorrow morning, so this should come out after.
Okay.
That. Minecraft battle minigame multiplayer for consoles. Okay. I got to try this out, so it's actually getting, as of recording, it is getting announced tomorrow morning. And what this is an actual tailor-made multiplayer battle arena. It's the first of what are planned to be multiple mini games.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play this. I played it for like over an hour and had a blast with it, actually. So I had a lot of fun.
This is huge. This sounds huge for Minecraft fans.
It is. It's only consoles. But I mean, if you've been playing on consoles, you're missing out on a lot of the stuff that PC players get, where they have these like Hunger Games style modes and all these mods and stuff. Uh-huh. And this is 4J, who produces the console versions, giving you
that
some
kind
of this.
Stuff.
And it's so well made. Like the small touches in between games, you actually load into a tailor-made map where there's no fighting. Mm-hmm. And there's like locked doors and stuff. You can't break any blocks. So it's all, you know, you can't cheat and all of that sort of stuff. So if you've been doing these kind of things on your own, all those things you wish you could, you have to tell everyone, don't break blocks and don't do this. All that is hard coded into this.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That is cool.
But like there's secrets in the lobby. So as you wait for the next game to load, you're like running around trying to change pictures and unlock doors and stuff. So, and the maps are really cool. And so everyone starts the game, and there's chests in the middle that have randomly generated stuff in them. So you have food, weapons, armor, all that sort of stuff that you would need in a battle. And mm-hmm. everyone rushes to them.
So what, are you just like running in there with diamond swords and like chopping at each other with bows and arrows and swords and stuff like that, basically? Or are there new types of weapons?
No, there's nothing new. It's still just sticking with Minecraft stuff. But It's not overpowered stuff. I think I only had like a diamond armor at one point. That's the only diamond thing I got. People were hitting each other with sticks and fishing rods and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's still very
limited. I bet that footage is going to be funny.
Yeah, it was really fun.
We're going to have a write-up on that and some video up tomorrow for that?
Yeah, there'll be
don't spill all the beans here, Kyle. Don't all spill them all.
Check out the video.
Check out attackofthefanboy.com. Check out youtube.com/fanboyattack for that on May 26th when this podcast goes live and those videos and coverage are not under embargo anymore. Sorry to cut you off there. I just didn't want you to tell everybody about it. Then they're not going to go watch the fucking awesome video.
Makes sense.
Anything else we need or do you think we missed this week for Attack of the Fanboy podcast number 32?
We hit it all.
I think we did hit it all for once. I was really kind of in a bad mood at the beginning of this. Now I'm feeling better. Got everything off chest. For Kyle, I'm William for Attack of the Fanboy podcast number 32. You can check out all of the things that we spoke about today on attackofthefanboy.com. You can find our YouTube content, videos, and other things where Kyle and myself talk about video games on youtube.com/fanboyattack. And as always, thanks for listening.